It's simple math. Tim Hortons 2-3-4 menu fills your mornings without emptying your pockets. $2 gets you a hot coffee or a classic bagel. $3, try a sausage and cheese English muffin or two classic donuts. And for $4, enjoy an egg and cheese croissant or an iced cap. Do the math. It all adds up to delicious deals. Only at Tim's. The Tim's 2-3-4 menu is available until 2 p.m. at select Columbus, Ohio restaurants. Terms apply.
It's the season for giving thanks. So to the Real Housewives of Orange County, you always have an extra seat at my table.
Life's a party, and I'm the queen of the kiki, and everyone wants an invite.
You guys, see, this is just good. We're having a mellow, in no way emotional Friday. It's Andy's Girls. It's episode 600 and something, and I'm so excited to have back one of my favorite people and guests. You know her as the host of Reality Checked on Radio Andy, who covers everything from pop culture, TV, celebs, true crime, Bagel Friday, and of course, Bravo, Bravo, Bravo. Welcome back to Andy's Girls, the talk of shame, Kiki Monique. Kiki, how are we?
I'm really good. You know, it's Friday. Turning a year older soon. It's always fun, you know, this time of year. Holidays, all of the things.
Are you much like myself and Heather Gay, also spiritually mid-20s plus?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was like, you know, I've said, you know, my relationship with Heather Gay this season has been like off, you know. Yeah. But again, that's the mark of a good housewife, when I can like love you, hate you. But I will say the most relatable moment when she was just like, none of these people could book me a ticket because none of them, I've lied about my age to all of them. I'm like, yeah, that tracks.
That was honestly an iconic moment, because I felt like she was baiting Bronwyn into saying, did you get it from production? You're not allowed to mention that they exist, which I was like, yeah, if we're going to have a little bit of a cunt off, like, Heather's winning.
Well, I'll say Bronwyn's winning, but she did, you know, because she was like, Bronwyn knew she couldn't say, like, producers gave it to her. She's like, I got it from people.
Also, wait, have you Googled? So I haven't Googled. Should I do it right now? I haven't Googled Heather Gay and birthday. I would find it very hard to believe that when Whitney Googled, it only brought up the day. Oh, my God. It's the second thing, that June 29, 1974. But we don't know that that's true. And the first thing that comes up is a Yahoo article that says the internet is divided on Heather Gay's actual birthday. While multiple sites state that she was born on June 29, 1974, others claim that she made her grand entrance on April 29, 1982. So
I mean, first of all, this is why it's iconic, because my, you know, I will say one of my goals in life is that I have a Wikipedia page that said she was born somewhere between 1964 and 1994. We have no idea. Like, I want the range to just be like, we don't know. But here's what we do know is that Angie, who just celebrated her 51st birthday, I believe she posted, which I was like amazed by, because, oh my God, I want to look like that at 51. They went to high school together because, you know, they have that whole thing of like, we were, you know, we knew each other. So obviously they were like within that 4-year range of high school, right? So we know it's around there. And I think I saw someone else post online. I think it might have been my family, Jeannie, posted like, you know, I won't post the year, but I will say she had, you know, like a epic birthday this year. Like, it was a big one. So, I mean, it probably is 74. She probably turned 50. But you know what? None of our business. Again, if someone asks me what my age is, I'll be like, I'd rather tell you my weight. Like, let me.
I have to say, it was one of my favorite kind of comebacks from Heather this season. Not to say that there's necessarily a long list, but it was one of those moments where I was like, there she is. Like, sometimes she can be funny in a way that doesn't make me feel like she's being extraordinarily strategic.
Yeah, like when Heather just is like her true, authentic, like even a bit of a little insecure self. And I mean, not to say that we like lean into the insecurity, but like just being real of like, look, things are going well. I have a great business. I have great daughters. I make a lot of money, but I still like am weird about these things, that's when we relate to the housewives.
I do also have to say that when she did the toast of like, I'm so thankful to have been invited to this, I laughed then as well. Like the delivery of it was so bitchy that I was like, see, this is fun. It's not fun when she then pretends she was so upset and so devastated not to be there, because I'm sorry, I don't believe that. I don't believe that her heart was broken. Poor, sad, single Heather. I really genuinely don't. But when she leans in to being a dick, I'm like, there she is. There's our girl.
I mean, I think that she was upset, and it was more about the fact of like, how dare you come in here, newbie, and not invite me, the queen bee, who carried the last season on the trip. And so I get that, because, you know, we all want to have sort of like that sort of bravado when we, you know, when we come into a season, like, who is this newbie? But I will say, like, you know, Bronwyn was on Reality Checked, and, you know, it was revealed in the last episode, but she had said it on Reality Checked that, like, you know, I had purchased, you know, first class tickets for both Heather and Brittany. I don't know if she mentioned it on the show, but it was also Brittany was the other one, which we never really got to the bottom of, like, why Brittany didn't get the invite, because you had purchased the ticket. And obviously Brittany was very upset about it. And I was saying the meltdown Brittany was having about not being invited. Brittany has been getting on my nerves the whole season, but I will say she was so hilarious in that moment. I was kind of like, oh, you know what? Let her stay, because she's unraveling and it's actually hilarious.
I think this is a character flaw, but like I might stan Brittany. Like I've been so upset at her. But then this episode, I'm like, there's just, you know what? Whatever you want to do, like, we don't need to pretend she needs to be promoted, but like, keep her on the show. Because there's something about her where I'm like, lady, I like it. I like what you're doing. Like, it's stupid, it's dumb, but it makes me laugh. Like, she brings me some zen. I don't know if Bronwyn was thinking like Noah's Ark style, single people have to go on the Ark two at a time. And if Heather wasn't there, oh God, no, only one single person is left. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought that was like actually like a classy move, because yeah, they are the two single women on the show. So like, yeah, at least give them the first class. That's how I'd feel. I'd be like, if you're going to bring me, like, at least give me the first class ticket if I don't have a man to sleep next to at night.
100%. And also she hates them the most.
So yeah.
It's like, keep your friends close and your enemies in first class. Like,
totally. Do it.
Like 100%. So I have to ask you, you interviewed Bronwyn on Reality Checked. What was your initial impression of her at the beginning of the season? And do you feel like we're seeing the real Bronwyn now?
You know, it's like before she came on, you know, when it was like announced she was came on, you know, you go look at their social media and all of those things. And I was kind of like, generally, I feel like we identify in terms of like, I think it looks like we have aligned on a lot of the same beliefs or whatever. But I'm always curious, because again, I don't believe in standing for season housewives, because they tend to disappoint you when it comes around to season two. And so I was just letting it play out. But every time she sort of like opened her mouth to clap back at people, I was kind of like, oh, I like this girl. I like the energy she's bringing. And the fact that, you know, she's clapping back at Lisa, for instance, and Lisa is sort of like, she's not really going toe to toe in the same way. She doesn't want to lose Bronwyn's friendship. It's clear, even though she's, you know, doing a little talking behind her back. So I was kind of like, all right, she's like stepping up. And so I was really excited to talk to her, because I, you know, I feel like she's bringing some like, you know, fresh energy to the show. And just like, I really like it. I will say the conversation I was having with her about Todd, because I was like, you know, I think that people are getting the wrong impression. I get the feeling that he's more protective versus controlling. But I will say in this last episode, there was that one line that threw me off when she said, you know, if we're being real, he doesn't want me to have my emotions, you know, publicly, but if we're being real, he doesn't want me to have them privately either. That one struck me a little weird, because I said, it's one thing, you're allowed to be as vulnerable as you want with your partner in private. And if he's not allowing that, That I have a problem with. But like the way he's sort of reacting about wanting to be protective of Gwen and her and the situation, and, you know, understanding that this, he's never seen this side of her, saying, you know, if I'm not, you know, riding your dick like I'm being paid to, like, he hasn't seen this Bronwyn. So I get why he's like a little bit shook. So, you know, I guess it's to be determined how more of it plays out. But, you know, I think, you know, she's coming. She's like being, you know, revealing stuff. I like the friendship she's like developing with Mary. And so I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, it's giving me a little Doll's House energy, like this whole Todd situation. Like, I'm like, he wants his like quiet little lady who's like feminine and sweet and God forbid doesn't embarrass him by speaking out of turn, which I caught that moment too when she was like, he doesn't really want me to, you know, get out of hand, quote unquote, when I'm with him or when we're in front of a camera, which is a problem. But also, like, what was Todd told about this show? I'm not blaming other people for Todd's behavior, but what was he convinced to do this because it's going to be like women showing their careers and stuff and like couples getting along? What was he told? Because the things that he's saying for her to do, you should walk out, you should de-escalate, are counter to how to stay on this show. So, like, what's the vibe?
That's what I asked her too, because I said, like, you know, how did you convince him to do this show? And she was very much just like, you know, I didn't convince him. Like, this was like a conversation, and like she acted like it wasn't a matter of trying to convince him and that he understood. But I was kind of like, do you watch these shows together? Like, does he, you know, like that part, you know, I don't know. I can't remember the answer. I'll be honest. Sometimes when I'm in the interview, I forget the answer that they're giving in that moment. But she seemed like they were, you know, on board with everything, or he was on board with everything. But I was kind of just like, I don't know how he would expect anything less to happen in these sorts of, like, this is what Housewives is.
Yeah, I'm thinking Todd hasn't seen, like, the Amsterdam trip from Beverly Hills. I don't know that he's seen Lisa Rinna make a shiv out of a plate or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I don't know that. I think maybe if they were thinking it's escapism or something else, to me, on God's honest truth, I don't think he's seen a single episode of anything emanating from Franklin Lakes. Like,
yeah.
I think this guy either had an expectation that wasn't realistic or did not know, which honestly, obviously is a Todd problem, but it's really a Bronwyn problem. Because
yeah,
now she's dealing with who's in my corner if my husband is not. And he thinks that I need to do the exact opposite of what I know instinctively needs to get done. And then the added layer of like, oh yeah, but he also doesn't want me to be upset anyway, 24/7, regardless.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. Like, one thing we know about when you marry someone who has more money than you, you know that you're going to end up in a situation where they have control over you. That's just the dynamic. Hello, like that they're willing to have those concessions of like, I'll pay for your lifestyle and you have to agree to those sorts of things. And I think that you enter into that knowing that, which is why Housewives is so interesting, because a lot of time what we see is either like in the situation of like a Camille and Kelsey Grammer. I don't know if this was ever confirmed, but it seemed like he was willing to let her do this because he knew he was out the door. And he was like, I need you to get set up and make your own money because I'm about to be out. So that can happen where a man will be like, I'm fine with you doing that because I know I'm about to peace out. Or the woman just decides she wants to do it because she is so tired of being in the dollhouse. And she's just like, he's either going to like it or not. And if he decides to leave, whatever, because I'm going to also be establishing myself. So as we constantly hear from Heather Gay, it seems she has no prenup because we hear all the time. So
Heather Gay, I mean, I think we've seen a variety of different dynamics on Housewives of women who are in relationships with men where there obviously is a gap in between, like, what does it mean to be the provider, to be the caregiver? How does the huge imbalance in who's bringing in the cash impact the roles in their relationship? Like, sometimes it feels so traditional. I just wish that control I mean, I guess it's sort of Pollyanna of me. My hope would be that control isn't always in play in the ways that we've seen it with Bronwyn and Todd. Sometimes I'm like looking for an asterisk, regardless of whether or not it's deserved. Of like, are we just seeing him in a bad moment? Is this just a man who's out of control, not necessarily because his wife is exploding, which obviously he is, but also because he's in a dynamic on this show where he's not in a power position. Mm. He has the money. They can rent the crazy house and take them to the track and do all this shit. But like, that doesn't mean anything when it comes to the final edit or who's going to win in an argument first. Like, the dynamics around control and wealth and marital roles, I just sometimes wish that some of these situations didn't seem as specific as they are and as set as they are.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, when I think back to like Tamra and her first husband, was Simon was his name.
Yep.
I feel like there were issues in the marriage, but I think her becoming this popular person on a, you know, reality show and just sort of eclipsing him and like how he felt his importance was in their family dynamic is what contributed to a lot of that downfall. Like, he just wasn't ready for, you know, that energy and personality to be dominating the household, it felt like.
Yeah. And it's odd. I don't know why this is coming to mind, but because I just watched, or I've watched Orange County and Salt Lake each twice in the last literal 12 hours. And in doing that, just thinking about the ways that money was at the forefront, obviously, of all things like Alexis, John, and Shan. Alexis being so ineffective in trying to use the money narrative to control Shannon is a little top of mind for me. And I think it's because I honestly was in shock watching Orange County Part 3, because I just didn't know it was possible for Alexis to come out of this looking so much worse than she already had. I was in shock watching OC Part 3, because I was like, it's inexplicable to me that this performance is as horrible and horrifying as it is. But that's kind of a little bit of, I think, where we leave ourselves with this.
Yeah, I hate to say it, because I was just kind of like, I don't know, I give everyone a grace. Like, I know, even if they're like a terrible person, because I'm just like, I'm all for just like, can we make this work? But after Part 3, Alexis sent me, I was very much enjoying Emily just like getting into her ass, because I was just kind of like, this is how we all feel. I wanted to be like, oh, Alexis, like, you just ruined your shot. Like, I really do feel like there was an opportunity for you to just like be accountable and not be such a, like, not do exactly what you did on Part 3. It was just the absolute opposite of what you needed to do. Like, you found no fans, no friends, like, nobody had empathy for her after that.
The number one thing that my mom wants is for me to connect with the son of a woman who sold her a couch. The number two thing she wants is for me to, obviously, give her a call and find a way to keep our memories close. So luckily, this holiday season, I have given her the gift of an Aura digital picture frame. It's another amazing way to stay in touch. I live in New York City, the fam lives in RI, and while my mom wants me to visit every day if I could, there are ways to keep us connected. And of course, I've been known to send my mom throwback pics of us, Jeff and I as kids, nights that my mom and I have had out here in New York when she's come to visit, and I know that those memories are meaningful. Aura Frames was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, and Fast Company said the simple, stylish digital picture frame can replace social media in your life. So the next time you need to call your mom, BCC the Tobes, you can also send her a new pic of you from that trip you're telling her all about right from your phone. For a limited time, visit AuraFrames.com and get $45 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames by using promo code Andy's Girls at checkout. That's AURAframes.com, promo code AndySkrulls. This exclusive Black Friday Cyber Monday deal is their best of the year, so don't miss out. Terms and conditions apply. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? In the words of an unnamed former OG New York housewife, we support other women. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormone changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. In the time before that time of the month, I don't feel like myself. I recognize a change in emotion after the fact, but during it, it's so difficult to understand what is different about the experience of being me that changes in a matter of days. The good news is we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndySkrulls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndySkrulls for 15% off today. Emily has had, I would say, a complicated reunion cycle, but using her powers for good, as she did in part three, not just in screaming at Alexis for 44 minutes plus commercials, but also nudging Tamara and being like, this is the gal you want to align with, this lady, like, tell me why. I wish we got more into that. I felt like at the end when Heather's like, hey, Katie and Jen, can you translate why you're friends with Alexis, what you're not seeing? I felt like, honestly, that was Heather fucking with them, where she's like, how about you guys claim Alexis? And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Emily was doing the work that I needed to see happen on the sidelines, but Tamara and Heather were never held accountable for what I think was far worse. Like, Katie's brand new. Jen is close behind. Why aren't we talking to the established ladies who have an understanding of production and also Shannon better than anybody else on these couches? And they're not saying jack shit, barely.
And we saw the, like, added on addition after the reunion, which made, I'm still trying to, because I just watched it. So I'm still trying to understand why that information was sat on for so long. And I just don't think that we are going to get an answer, because the only answer seems like you were just not willing. You were pissed at Shannon and you weren't willing to give that information at the time because you wanted to protect Alexis. Because why else would you sit on that information? It made no sense to me.
Okay, second time I watched the reunion, Tamara, during one of the back and forths at the reunion, when she's like, you know, super calm and inquisitive, asks Shannon about what Shannon knew, I think specifically about the videos. Why would you do that, having this information in your back pocket, unless you're trying to force something out of her? Why are we this whole like, oh, but you stared at me, we gave face, so now we're making up again. I cannot. My body went into shock. I thought to myself, we're now in the cycle where like Tamara's still Tamara, Shannon is Vicky, and Jen is Shan, where it's like, I'm not joining this like thruple hug. Like, what the fuck are you doing? I couldn't believe it. I actually couldn't believe it. Like, if Shannon believes that they have stuff to work out and they'll move forward, the fact that Tamara's last lines on the reunion was like, it's just because I loved you, it's just because I care. I can't believe that that won. That ended up fucking winning.
No, I've been like refreshing my phone all day because I'm like, is Shannon going on Jeff Lewis today? Because I need her to go somewhere because I need to hear her reaction. Because yes, in that moment, I know that, like, you know, you're talking to your friends, you want to have the kumbaya moment. I need to know how you feel fresh off of like realizing that these two women, again, sat on this information for five, like Emily's like, you had this just 5 months ago that you had this like dinner after the finale.
I don't understand. Like, I actually, can we talk about the surprise at the end of part three? I don't understand what the purpose of it was. It was to say that John heard, which is something we assumed at this point, thanks to Jeff Lewis thinking about it, talking to Shannon, and then referencing it on the radio. And then the other thing is like Shannon maybe was physically violent with John, something she admitted she had heard at least about that night. What came out of that sit down? I was very confused.
But then also, so then she didn't try to hit his daughter with a car, because like that's also the narrative we were fed, right? During the season was like the video shows Shannon almost running over John's daughter. So none of that is not what's said. It's what we're hearing is this is what John says. He heard the accident. He was going to run out. His daughter stops him. She peeks around the corner. She sees Shannon driving off. And so, yeah. So it's kind of like, okay, so doesn't sound like he was trying to run over her daughter. Yeah, she punched him on maybe, but she doesn't know because she was blackout. I don't know. But I mean, it just the whole thing. It's all just like really kind of icky at this point, because like, you know, one, it didn't have to carry on this far. Like Emily said, if they had just settled and signed the NDA before the season started filming, none of this could have been brought up on camera by either one of them. And so we wouldn't even have this as a thing that was happening, and it would have been settled. Instead, we dragged it out, and then we started using these videos as like leverage to like try to get it. Just like the whole thing. Look, I enjoyed watching it play out. I'm not going to say I didn't enjoy watching it play out. So that's like, you know, but
I'm really concerned that Alexis has gotten this far in her life being stupid. And I think it kind of came together when she said to Emily, I also have a college degree, where I thought to myself, what do you think that bought you? Like, I mean, tell us the name of the college so we know not to send our kids there.
And also, I know so many people with degrees who I consider idiots. Like, please don't. Yeah, like, please.
When Emily was trying to explain to her how a non-disparagement works, and the fact that using the videos as blackmail, as a force of trying to control Shannon and get her to silence herself, whatever. When Emily's like, if you just signed the non-disparagement, you would get the money, but you would guarantee that Shannon wouldn't talk. And if she did talk, you could sue her because she wasn't agreeing to this document that she signed. And Alexis is like, but I don't know that she would have done that. And all John needed was the money. He didn't even need anything else. I'm thinking to myself, this is so scary to me because you believe it. Like, you're so stupid that you believe it, but you think that your voice should still carry. And so does production because you're here. I just genuinely thought to myself, like, you have no cognitive reasoning in a way that makes me feel like whatever the fuck happens with your marriage to this man, I don't even, it, it's, And to say that Shannon doesn't have the right to have an experience in her relationship because John might disagree with how Shannon characterizes him, which means none of it ever happened. What has Alexis said about Jim Bellino? Has he agreed with everything she's ever said about him, including immediately after they broke up? Has he signed on to literally everything? I don't think so. So how do we exist in both of these worlds?
That was the part that was literally frustrating the hell out of me, because I just wanted to be like, did you not sit with your people before this? And did they not say to you, like, you know, come into this with, like, you know, you have to have some empathy if you want the audience to be able to listen to you. And if she had literally said in that moment, Shannon, you're right. You know, hindsight is 20/20, and we should have just settled, because in that way we could have gone on this season and that would have been a non-issue and we could have just, like, related to each other. And yeah, maybe we would have had other things that would have come up and been the issue, but that wouldn't have been at the center of it. And I wouldn't have spent so much time trying to defend him, this man that I love. But instead, she just came out still with the same lines that he was like, make sure you say this, make sure you say this. And it's just like, but it's just not, those things aren't accurate. And I know that she had posted a long, you know, caption on a post today. Did you read it?
No. Hold on. My eyes just, like, fell out of my body. One second. Holy shit. I just forgot how to spell Alexis. Who's the idiot now? Oh, yep. It's a beautiful photo of her.
Yeah.
Okay. Should I? Okay. I'm just going to read. Can I read this? And then
yeah,
we'll discuss.
Yeah. We'll discuss.
Okay. Alexis posted 8 hours ago and said, I just had a chance to watch the reunion of Orange County season 18. Thank you for making sure we're aware of which season it was. I'm letting everyone know that I'm broken by this season. I was already broken by losing my mom 3 months prior to filming, so it was a difficult decision to sign back on. Yet I went in thankful. It brought me out of bed and out of my depression. But now I have been beaten down so badly, so wrongly, and so many truths left out. So much left on the cutting room floor that would have never brought so much hate to me and my family. Oh, Alexis, there are receipts, many, and they will be brought out this week. The lawsuit only finalized because the opposition knew we had the receipts to bring to court. She had to pay up because she would have lost in court. Yeah, she only paid $60,000 of the $75,000, but thank you for that $60,000. John gave you a discount. Thumbs up emoji. The lie that someone paid for everything is squashed by the fact of what our forensic accountant did. $50,000 spent by John year one, then $380,000 over 3 years, then two loans of $75,000, what? Which she finally had to pay because the evidence would have squashed her in court. Truth prevails. It's unfortunate that I didn't get the opportunity for these receipts to be shown at the reunion, although they were brought by me and they were very available to be shown. So now John and I will bring them in our own voice. This is never how I would have thought or wanted it to happen. I also wanted to be known that I never thought I'd be brought back this season to be the villain, I believe. If I had known, I never would have signed. I live in love, not anger or hate or villainous. I truly lay awake every night wondering why it was portrayed this way. Unfortunately, this season made a hit show at my and John's expense. I thought my beating all season would be finally advocated for at the reunion and the truth would prevail. Sometimes God has a different plan. I will now use my own platform and my voice to share the truth with you, because I do not live in toxicity, falsehoods, hateful behavior, victimhood, or lies. I signed on to reality, and now I will bring the reality to light. I will never act or become a victim. I will simply live with God and stand in truth. He always prevails. Hashtag stay tuned. Broken heart emoji. Red heart emoji. Heart hand emoji.
So basically, like, we're getting a John and Alexis podcast is what I'm hearing.
If we get, haven't we been through enough with, like, Rachel's and stuff and Bethany Frankel? If we get a John and Alexis podcast, I will listen to the first episode.
Of course, which is why they'll do it.
Yeah. I'm not going to say I'm Jesus Christ, but maybe I'm close. You know what I'm saying? Happy Hanukkah. I just, It's tough, I think, being Alexis, because unfortunately for her, everyone on both sides of the couch, everyone, and Andrew Cohen, one of his best reunion performances of all time in the middle, is seeing the same show that we are. That has to be tough, because she's saying it's the edit, famous last words, or famous flawed failing words. She's blaming the edit on all of these receipts. But John will still be a piece of shit. He will always be a piece of shit. Everybody on those couches and in the greater audience thinks he's a piece of shit. Like, congrats, apparently, as a big dick. Like, hope that's a part of your vows. But otherwise, the ginormity, fun new word, like the huge thing about John is just how toxic he is, how awful. Like, the irony in the reunion, I think Shannon was still defending John at points. She wasn't admitting, maybe it's because of defamation concerns or whatever else, the stuff that he said about her to her when they were still in a relationship that she was denying at previous reunions, she was still not acknowledging. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a bad person, I say, on my opinion, entertainment, comedy podcast. He's a bad person. And Alexis isn't doing great. Like, I don't know which Bible she's looking in today, but there has to be some sort of fucking commandment or Corinthians 18. What episode are we, like, 18:20? Corinthians 18:20? Like, shut the fuck up. Take your win. You have the man. Go fuck him forever. See what you can do with his $5 million, less taxes, whatever she got from Jim. Cobble that shit together. Make some solid investments. Get some Ferragamos and ride into the distance, sweetie. Like, what are we even doing at this point? What's happening?
And what's wild is, because it came out on the reunion, I think they met November 18th. It's November 22nd today. They just celebrated a 1-year anniversary. And when you look at that in the scheme of all of this, like, I'm just saying, like, I literally have underwear older than their relationship. And, like, I just feel like she did have an opportunity. Because, look, at the end of the day, I am always about, especially older women, getting the chance to still, like, you know, do work, be on TV, be celebrated. So her returning, I will celebrate any of that. I feel like you just completely, what is it, quashed that opportunity for a man, which is, again, it's the antithesis of what Real Housewives is about. We don't even pay the men. We don't even pay the men on this show. So leave them in the dust. Let them be the pieces, the arm candy, right? For once, they get to be the arm candy that just shows up, knows when they need to say the things that they need to say, and, you know, stands in the background and, like, and does their thing. But this man didn't even marry anyone, and he's occupied so much of this season. I'm just like, you didn't even put a ring on it, on any full-time cast member.
The problem for Alexis is no one cares anymore about how much money was spent, and John cares an awful lot. But telling us through forensic accounting how much money he spent in their relationship is not going to make him a good man. He is never going to be a good man. He's never going to be good enough, regardless of being a good man, for us to like him. So whatever she's trying to prove in saying that if he spent a lot of money, that makes him better and that makes Shannon bad, when at the end of the day, John can have his opinion of his relationship, Shannon can have her opinion of her relationship, they're never going to entirely make sense because it's based on Shannon's experiences versus John's. But at the end of the day, both can agree it was extraordinarily toxic. The thing that's concerning to me for poor, dumb, bitchy Alexis is that this man has obviously lied to her. He's made very big lies that don't make sense, that are backed up by paparazzi photos, that are backed up by things that Shannon said at the time. The fact that they were back together. I'm a chump. I haven't listened to like a lot recently, but I'm a throwback chump Jeff Lewis Live listener. I remember watching, because you can watch it on the app, Shannon's interviews with Jeff while she was still shtupping John after they broke up. And Jeff was needling, which he does extraordinarily well, you know, phenom, but was like, Shannon, you're still together with this man. And Shannon wouldn't say we're boyfriend, girlfriend, because she didn't want to. I cannot believe we're going back to like junior high math, but like, let's figure this out. They weren't boyfriend, girlfriend, but they were together. The only thing that wasn't together was the name. So for Alexis to go into this reunion and be like, well, maybe they were fuck buddies, but you know, he had been single for a year. Like, some of this is so obviously flawed logic that all she has to go back to are financial receipts. It's never going to end with the answer she demands that we see, which is that he is a better person or partner than he actually is.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, like, the thing that's so funny to me is the talking bad or defamation or talking bad about him is related to Shannon saying she paid for everything. Only in like an Orange County white man's world is that considered talking bad, because like, look, there's plenty of sugar babies that are like, yes, that person did spend a lot of money on me. And that's not talking bad, but you only feel this way because of like your ego, your male ego, whatever it is. But like, and also imagine being in a relationship for less than a year, because we just hit the 1 year anniversary, for being in a relationship with less than a year and dealing with forensic accounting with your new man to go through how much he spent on the past relationship. Let me tell you, the quickest way for me to not want to sleep with you anymore is to be sitting there with your forensic accounting, going through receipts of how much you spent on your last girlfriend. Like, why are you even subjecting your Alexis to this? And Alexis, why are you allowing yourself to be subjected to this? This is ridiculous.
Alexis is actively choosing this. Like, I don't even know who's driving the train. We know he's a piece of shit, but like, she's actively choosing this. What does she have without Shannon? The level of projection of Shannon, even though my now fiance is suing you and harassing you and trying to manipulate you and use these videos as extortion, blackmail, whatever, stop talking about it at your job, where you are the full-time cast member. I'm an accessory and I'm fucking your former man. Like, don't do it anymore. Stop doing your job. Your job is bad. Stop doing it at the reunion. And we haven't gotten into, she's a TV star. Shouldn't you have picked up some other skills in your 15 years on 5 shows? How many different ways have they done marriage boot camp? Like, what else has she done? I don't even, family therapy boot camp marriage? Like, what? We're talking about her like she went to the Strasbourg Institute. Like, what is method for Alexis Bellino? It's bad acting. The performance hasn't been good. I'm glad she now identifies as a reality TV star. It's so unfortunate she won't let Shannon. So unfortunate.
Oh, God. I just like, yeah, yeah, at the end of the day, I don't like, there's no, I know we wait for the reunion, and I assume production does the same to sort of decide like whether they will offer contracts out, because, you know, I imagine they'll want to start filming, you know, sometime in the next couple of months or whatever. I just don't see how she gets any sort of reach out after that. And I think she kind of knows that, because based on the way she, you know, wrote that caption, that very long caption, it's like, I think she is anticipating that, and she wants to give herself an out of like, if I had known, I would have never signed on. I'm like, well, then I guess maybe you should have taken that money that Johnny offered, because it's not going to offer it again for you to not do the show, because you're not going to be doing the show, clearly.
Do we think, this is like Captain Obvious, party of one, but do we think she's not going to be back? Because I actually think maybe she might be back.
I just don't see how it's possible at this juncture, unless it's, because it's just like, at this point, what would be the purpose? Because I don't, Shannon's not going to be your friend. There's no reason for Shannon to be your friend. And the other girls sort of, if they try to be her friend, we're just going to end up with more events that are split in half, right? We had one group going to Big Bear. We had another group going to Palm Springs. Like, nobody wants that. We like to see our housewives fight together. And Shannon's not even going to engage with this woman. She's not even going to engage with her. And we see that hug with Tamra and Shannon at the end of the reunion. And so I feel like, to me, that's all the tension I need. Because let's say Shannon and Tamra do try to rekindle a friendship. Tamra just said the other night, I think it was at the Reality TV Stars Awards on the red carpet, that Vicky Gunvalson is dead to her. So I would rather see that sort of tension of how Shannon and Tamra would navigate a friendship when Vicky would be over here trying to destroy her versus Alexis, because I'm more involved, you know, like at the end of the day, I think I'm more involved in that. And I just don't see what more Alexis can bring other than more John receipts. And I'm just not interested in John receipts. He can leave him in the dust. Like, I just don't.
I have said for a minute, don't make any cast changes. This is perfect. But if you did bring back Vicky Gumbleson in a friend of position, put her in the friend of seat, kick Alexis off, she's gone, clean up the wreckage or whatever, and install Victoria Gumbleson in that friend of position. Don't give her full time, but give her friend of, and just see how this works. My concern is that Shannon will, early days, probably let herself be manipulated by Tamra. She'll sign that permission slip.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how the triangulation will work. But for now, let's maybe see that happen.
But here's a hot take, and I know people don't like my hot takes, but I'm giving this hot take. I will let you have Vicky Gunvalson if you let me have Teddy Mellencamp. And I know, but it's only fair because it's only fair that Tamra gets a replacement friend if she if she gets her friend back. I'm just saying, and honestly, I want to see if Teddy talks about it on camera. I want to see if she talks about the horse drama. I do.
There's a better chance of John Mellencamp hosting a concert on top of that horse than there is Teddy Mellencamp in front of a camera crew when there are hundreds of thousands of people watching versus now on social media. That's when, well, actually, yeah, that probably is when Teddy's going to be accountable because she's a piece of shit. You better take those words out of your mouth, ma'am. You better extricate. I'm going to need to see an apology tour. Hold yourself accountable. You do not want Teddy back on TV. She ruins.
I want it, and I don't care what anyone says. I want it.
Don't you think that Tamra got to have that friend this season in Alexis? Why does she need to have another one? Let's even this out. There would be a two for one.
I feel like, I don't know. I think that everyone's going to be on Shannon's side coming into it, because even Emily was like, Tamra, I will co-sign a bunch of stuff, but I will never co-sign your friendship with this horrible Alexis. Like, she was literally the whole reunion going, how are you friends with this woman? How are you friends with this woman? Like, under her breath. Like, so I just, you know, I think, I don't know. I want to give Tamra a Teddy.
But you understand that's giving Teddy to us.
Look, maybe I'm a chaotic and messy, but I just feel like in 2025, the world is going to look like an insane and crazy place. And I'm ready at this point. Who cares? Let's just throw it all. Let's throw everything at it. I'm ready to just contribute to the chaotic and messiness. And I don't know. Maybe Teddy is willing to give us something. I don't know.
Then bring on the horse trainer's wife as a friend of.
Well, maybe she would. I mean, I was looking up. I don't know if it's still the same. I remember when this whole drama started, I started looking at who's following who. The wife was still following Edwin. And the wife was still following her husband. The wife was not following Teddy, but Teddy was still following the wife. Now, again, I don't know if that's changed since I looked, you know?
I mean, kudos to you for not being blocked.
Well, I was looking on my from my Finsta because I, you know, I'm always scared that if I start following people from my account, they will try to stop blocking me. So I always go in first with my Finsta, go follow everyone there so that if later.
Do you like free stuff? Well, you're in luck because Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal starts now and they are giving away free gifts with purchase. That's right. I have an exclusive advance invite to Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal for the entire month of November. This is their best sale of the entire year. If you're feeling stressed out or haven't been sleeping well lately, you are not alone. You might not be able to change all the chaos out there, but you can start supplementing with one key nutrient to improve your sleep quality as well as over 600 other biochemical reactions in your body. Magnesium Breakthrough is the only product I've found that has all the magnesium forms in one convenient bottle. You'll open less bottles, spend less money, and still get the top 7 forms of magnesium for better sleep, manage stress, balance hormones, improve mood, feel refreshed all in one bottle. You can only get this exclusive deal through my link special for AGs. Go to buyoptimizers.com/andysgirls and use code andysgirls to get your discount and free gifts today. And one last thing you should all know, all Buy Optimizer supplements are best in class. If for some reason you feel differently, you can get a full refund up to 1 year after your purchase, no questions asked. Again, the link to go right now for the exclusive code is buyoptimizers.com/andysgirls using code andysgirls.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I just can't imagine Teddy bringing more value to the franchise than like Alexis Bellino.
Again, it's just a friend of role.
Yeah, what can happen with that? What's the worst that can happen? Am I right?
And like, I just, you know, like I'm not a Vicky Gunvalson stan. So I guess I'm just like, I know Teddy and her do not like each other. So for me, it's like the kryptonite. I'd rather at least have like,
the chaos. I do want to shift gears a little because, I mean, trigger warning, thinking about Teddy does make me think about Beverly Hills. The premiere came out. We watched it. I watched it twice, which I'm saying like that's like a huge deal. But I watched it the regular amount of times I normally watch Housewives episodes. If you had to pick a team, Kyle, Dorit, where are we standing? Whose side are we on these days?
You know, look, I always hate a team, but let's just say I might pick up smoking this season because Dorit just made it look so goddamn good. I was like, I want to be in that Range Rover flying down the canyon with cigarettes flying out the window. Like anytime I see people in their car in LA smoking cigarettes, I'm always like, what? Who are you? Like, this is so like 80s. Like, what are you doing? But I was just so like, I have always liked Dorit. I really have. Like, she's always been someone that I liked. And, you know, she just entertains me. And I just, like, I already knew after this first episode, I was like, I'm going to just love her even more. I just know it.
I wasn't expecting to be as genuinely impressed as I was by Dorit. Like, I recorded an episode deep diving the premiere and said, like, Kyle is in my top 5. I am 1,000% Team Dorit. Like, it really... It's going to be a tough road, I think, for aspects of standing Kyle and not seeing any complications, because this whole manipulative versus miscommunication thing to the end of my days, I believe that sending that text the night before the reunion was absolutely manipulative, and Dorit doing her job and discussing it on camera, showing how manipulative it was, and Kyle's response being like, this is the worst thing that has literally ever happened. Ma'am, what you someone needs to bring you back down to earth, so thank fucking God for Dorit Kemsley.
Agreed, because yeah, that absolutely. And also her being mad at the BravoCon thing when they show the BravoCon thing, which was clearly a joke. You cannot be mad at that. Like, you literally like spilled something on her, so she made a joke. Ha ha, you're definitely not my favorite. Like, we all saw it. Like, you can't, it doesn't make any sense. So yeah, it's going to be hard for, which, look, I mean, I think that Kyle said she walked off and was going to stop filming like midway through the season. And I get it, because I think anytime you start sort of like your feet getting held to the fire, you can't answer for it. You just start running away. Look at Meredith Marks in this season of Salt Lake City. Like, she's not doing herself any favors. Like, just, you were in the wrong, girl. And I know you don't want to own it.
The way that Meredith Marks absolutely threatened Angie K, and Angie K was like, that's a threat. And Meredith is like, was it though? Did I say that? Where are we? What's happening? I mean, that was honestly, the watching Meredith Marks's wheels attempt to go backward was wonderful television.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And then saying to Mary Cosby, because you told me to shut the fuck up. I think she actually misheard Mary, but regardless, this being the reason that Mary and Meredith are on the outs, this moment, this thing is what sets it all off. Phenomenal, wonderful performance. EGOT for everyone. Absolutely yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
We are kind of in a little bit of a golden age of television right now. I mean, I think we broke records this week, 5 franchises on at once. I do promise to catch up on Potomac. I'm just not quite there yet because there's so much Housewives on television and someone needs to self-sacrifice and watch New York. I mean, it's kind of an interesting journey. I have to ask you, there has been obviously an ongoing conversation, what to do about New York. This season is the worst. What do we do about the OGs, if anything? Are we just continuing the Shiva? Like, how are you feeling about the future of current New York?
Well, I'll say this with a caveat, because there's Bravo Fan Fest is happening down in Miami. So there's all these panels happening. And I think Andy was asked about Roni, and he basically said, this cast is the future of Roni. So I think he's sort of putting his foot down in a way to say, like, stop harassing me about the OGs. Like, that OG isn't happening. And if it happens, it's going to happen in some other version, right? You know, like a thing. I know that they spent a lot. You and I were at the season series, or like the reboot premiere. So we saw how much money they were putting into this new cast. And look, I think that Roni is at his heart because he's a New Yorker. And so it's just like, I think it's like he wants to make it. And I don't think he likes seeing people talk about it. But, and I get it, because second season can always be an issue and you have to like allow time to like let there be working out of it. And I agree with that, because I also don't agree with just bringing back the old cast. I don't think that's the answer either. I do think you have to work through the trouble spots. I hope that Bryn can see, because I loved Bryn. I loved Bryn season one. And so it's been painful. It's part of the reason I haven't really talked about Roni, really, because I don't want to say mean things about Bryn, because I really do like her. I really do like her.
We've all been there. Not with Bryn, I gotta tell you, but like, yeah, we've all been there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
Because it's like, I keep going back to like, you know, the Bryn at BravoCon whose heels got stuck in the escalator. And like, that's the Bryn we know and love, right? And I wanted to keep going back to that moment. But the way that she is making me feel the cringe that's coming out of me this season, but I feel like there's still, we can work on that. I think that she can see herself and realize the issue she's having. Look, Jessel's killing it. I think Sai is, I love Sai this season, which is such a turn because she was like, she was getting on my nerves for a season. So I think that there is an opportunity to course correct and we shouldn't be so hard on them. But I will just say that this is like the self-producing. I never seem to see Rebecca Minkoff again. Like I have had enough of that. Like the self, we've already heard she's tried to manufacture two storylines. We have the pregnancy one that she just did. Plus, before the season even started, she went on an interview, I think, and said how she was trying to manufacture a storyline with Jenna. So, like, and then we saw the hot mic moment, or not even hot mic, the editors just left it in the Hamptons, where Brynn was like, Rebecca comes in, and she's like, oh, Rebecca, next time say something like this to me. And so I'm just like, when I think the editors just, are, you know, the producers need to let them know, like, this self-producing thing, like you guys are doing it. Everyone self-produces, right? But like you guys are doing a terrible job at it. And like, we need to like, and they're also not all organically friends, which is the problem. Like Southern Charm is always going to be, I'm sorry, great because they are really friends. And even OC, like they are, like most of them really do have connections. Salt Lake City, look, everyone in Salt Lake City is a cousin or dated somebody or married. So they're all organically connected as well. This is why these seasons are thriving. Roni, these people wouldn't even, I don't even know if they would talk. Some of them would talk to each other if they were sitting next to each other, like at an event, you know, like they just like. So I just think they need to work out that part of it, because I do think at least representing New York, it's doing a much better job. Like, I will say that these people are more in line with the people I would hang out in New York versus the, I was never going to hang out with like the Luann's, the Ramonas in New York. Like, these are the people I would have hung out in with New York. So I feel that. So it's a tough spot they're in, but basically now that it feels like Daddy Andy has spoken a little bit.
You know he's so pissed. You know it. And the fact that there have been so many like bartenders on and guests on Watch What Happens This Week Alone who are like, I love New York. It's my favorite. Really? What? How? But there are always people who like, you know, I want to go against the grain. I mean, you know, enjoying Rebecca Minkoff on TV is certainly that. So, yeah. You know, mazel of the day to them. I don't know how you make individual maybe Bravo Lebs into a solid ensemble. I don't know how you do that. There's no ensemble connection. So like they being the future of New York. Okay, well, let's get a little more granular on what they is, because obviously there needs to be some sort of adjustment in front of and behind the camera. But I don't even really blame a big, this is like a casting thing. How do you uncast? I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And, you know, I think that one of New York's issues, too, has always been that New York money whispers. You know, L.A. money is a lot more loud because a lot of it's newer, or it's, you know, whereas I feel like finding those old school people that actually have wealth there is a little bit harder. And like what we like to see is the opulence, especially in New York. It's very hard for people who've never lived in New York to understand that, like, yes, I live in a like one floor apartment, but this is a $17 million apartment. Whereas if you see a $17 million house in Beverly Hills, it looks like a $17 million house. So, you know, it's a lot harder for those people to want to even be on reality show. And especially with the state of reality now, the biggest problem they're going to have is like, I don't want to be indicted. There's clearly an entire department in the federal government and the IRS that is dedicated to watching people to see how they make their money and then coming in and auditing us or indicting us. And I know, I will say that I know a woman who was very far along in a casting process and her husband shut that down, shut it down. Because who knows? He probably, again, when your husband is running and has the money and has the control and you're just there, he's like, "Don't, you ain't going to screw up my situation because you want to be a reality star. Goodbye. No, we're not doing this."
Yeah, keep those skeletons in the closet.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no worst idea if you want to come on reality TV than have some stuff that you want to hide. Like, that's mm-hmm. catnip for us, but claws out for everybody else. Like, that's mm-hmm. not... That's not necessarily.
I mean, look at what happened. I love McBee Dynasty, which I've, you know, I had Stephen McBee on Reality Checked. And, you know, it was on Peacock for season one. And it was following the, you know, McBee family and their farm. And it was just a really entertaining show. And then they announced that second season would be on Bravo, followed the next on Peacock. So they really stepped up, you know. And then it comes out because at the end of season one, we see the father, like, basically have this whole meltdown because he didn't get the VC funding he needed to keep his farm. He needed millions of dollars loan or from the VC investment. And so he doesn't get it. He like is drunk at the, you know, the company party. He like, everyone's like, he's a sloppy mess. And then he just takes off and gets on the road and leaves. He's like, I'm not coming back. And so it was very dramatic. Like, are the sons going to run the farm? And that's how they left it. Well, a couple days ago comes out, this man is now facing 30 years in prison, in federal prison, because he just pleaded guilty essentially to fraud. It's one of those, basically what it sounds like is when you're a farmer, farmers are the biggest recipients of welfare. They don't call it welfare in the, you know, because it sounds too, but like they get a lot of funding from the federal government to subsidize certain crops. And basically what it sounds like is he was saying that certain crops weren't yielding, you know, this amount. So he was getting subsidies from the government to cover it. And it turned out to be fraudulent. So he had received like millions of dollars in federal funding illegally. And so he pled guilty. So this is coming in to, you know, again, he had to, I have to imagine this is like a investigation that's been a while. So I don't even know, like, while they were filming, if they were under investigation or what, but it makes sort of sense why he like sort of escaped that last episode. It feels like maybe he knew that there was other issues going on. And again, I think that sometimes people, they're in such a hole. And I don't know if this is a situation with McBee, but I've even said this about Jen Shaw, because I personally believe that she had to know that something was brewing amongst the people, because people were getting indicted around her like for a long time. And I think that sometimes people think, I'm in such trouble, I would rather go on reality and go down as a famous person, because at least I have a fighting chance when I get out of prison, versus if I get taken down as a nobody, I'm nobody when I come out. Like, nobody's going to be asking me for interviews. Nobody's going to be, you know what I'm saying? So at least if I go on a reality show and I know I'm going down and I get arrested on camera, people are still going to follow me. Because I feel like the Grizzlies, I feel like whenever they get out, people are still really interested in their story. And I think they're going to be able to rebuild because their daughter is still, you know, so I just, you know, I've never been in that position, and I hope I'm never in that position, but you never know what choices you might make to go on reality if you think it might be your only chance at saving yourself for long term.
Well, it's also the ego and arrogance of thinking you can get away with something regardless of whether or not you're caught, that blends together with the arrogance of thinking or understanding that there's some sort of magnetic energy about your personality, chemistry, whatever, that's perfectly in line with reality TV. Like, the intersection of that can be, I guess, fascinating to unpack. I think that's also why we've seen a number of people indicted, arrested, whatever, yada yada, because of this kind of focus or drive that they've had to like commit crime, and now feeling like, well, I'm so talented at that, let's make a new goal. It hasn't necessarily worked out well for a lot of them, but that's probably not the point. Oy vey. Listen, Kiki, I could talk to you all day. This has been a pleasure, a joy. You know, you're one of my favorite people.
You're one of my favorites as well.
I am so thankful for you coming on this Friday morning. Great way to start my day. Needed the escape. So thankful to you, appreciative for you. Can you tell the AGs a little bit about what you've got cooking over on Radio Andy, where folks can follow you? Mention it all.
Yeah, I mean, I am on Reality Checked every Monday on Sirius XM on Radio Andy and Thursdays as well. You know, it just depends on the Thursday, but definitely every Monday. So I'm usually recapping. Well, it won't be OC anymore. A lot of Potomac as we get into Southern Charm. I think, you know, that'll be premiering. So I'll be talking about Southern Charm. So all things reality. I share, you know, what I'm watching, and we always kiki about the headlines. So always talking about that. And obviously on the Talk of Shame on Instagram and TikTok, I'm usually making my breaking news videos and updates there. And, you know, there's more things to come, hopefully, in the future. Trying to pitch myself on a few things. So we'll see what happens in 2025.
Okay, to be continued. I love that energy. Well, this is the year. We just need to get some shit done. This is like #women supporting other women. This is the time. We just need to amplify our voices, kick some fucking ass, make a couple dollars, invest or save or whatever, emergency funds, Googling that late at night. Like, just, we're just making our way through. We love it. I love it. I fully stan. Listen, speaking of standing, number one way I'll stan you is if you join the Andy's Girls Patreon. It's the number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more at patreon.com/Andy's Girls. Follow me on Instagram @DameGally. And thank you so much, the Talk of Shame, also known as Kiki Monique, for coming back on the pod.
Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. Thanks to all of you for listening. And we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Crocs, Old Navy Outlet, American Eagle Outfitters, Kay Jewelers, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com. Big time deals on big name brands.